I'd like to thank the brothers here at this congregation for giving me another opportunity to stand before you to say something from God's Word. I want to thank those who are visiting with us today, your special guest, honored guest, and Andy. Met him at Richard's funeral. And he did say he was going to be here, so we're glad to have you here, Andy, tonight, and hope that you will come back again. Our regular minister, Brother Allen, is out of town. He and his wife, they are visiting, out there on vacation, and so the brother here, we step up and we do what needs to be done. I'm not a preacher, but I try to at least say something from God's Word to encourage us. Tonight, we just want to look at some things from God's Word. And an introduction as to what we'll be talking about is without a doubt, everyone needs, wants, seeks assurance in the realm of life and matters of human relationship, finances, job security, retirement, government, and especially beliefs about God, about man, about salvation, spirituality. You know, the Bible describes things as, for whichever thing was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope, according to Romans chapter 15 and verses 4. And we want to know something about what we're talking about tonight. I think I skipped over one here, but tonight we want to talk about... about a pattern of salvation assurance is really what our lesson is going to be about tonight. Pattern of salvation assurance. And basically what assurance is something about freedom from doubt. There are many people who have doubts about what they should do as far as worshiping God. And it's a sense of certainty that something is true or occurs or that all is okay. And the scriptures for this presentation starting off is from Acts chapter 2 verse 36, when Peter said, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." The word assured in the Greek is talking about a sure, a certain, a security. Also, in Acts chapter 16, in verses 23, where they give this analogy here of what it means to be something that's assured. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and charging the jailer to keep them safe and secure." That was when Paul and Silas was in prison in Philippi. Also in Mark chapter 14 and the verses 44, when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, it was said that whomsoever I kiss, take him and lead him away safely. So this is what we're talking about as far as this word assurance here. Also, we have another example of what the scriptures is talking about whenever we talk about full assurance of understanding. And full assurance of understanding here is talking about having a good assurance and understanding who God the Father is and God the Son. And in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, I won't read it, the whole verse, that their hearts might be comforted, being knitted together in love and into all riches of full assurance of understanding. In other words, the writer here is saying, leaving no doubt about what it means about full assurance. Also, we see another example here in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. And this is talking about Abraham and what he was told about Sarah, about having a child. And Abraham didn't doubt God's word because he believed what the promise was. And in verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also perform. So we see here about whenever we have full assurance or something about being persuaded in God's word that that will come true. Also, we remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, about your work of faith and labor and love, patience and hope, our Lord Jesus, and the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your elect of God. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power and of the Holy Spirit, and much assurance. So we see here, according to God's word, that we need to be faithful to those things that God has promised us, and we need to believe that. Also, we see another example here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. And this is talking about, verse 11 says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence of full assurance and hope until the end. And then also verse 12 says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And we also see another example here in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 21 through 23. And basically what he's talking about here is understanding the purpose of baptism and full assurance of faith, having their hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and their bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful, that promise. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17, this is where our confidence comes in right there. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. So we know when we're baptized into the body of Christ, we know that we are new creatures in the body of Christ, and therefore we should honor what the promise is and what God has blessed us with also too. You know, the writer of the letters of Hebrews was concerned about the Christians in the early church, that they would abandon their hope during their struggles on earth. And many people are like that also too. Whenever you come into the knowledge of the truth and you obey it, and then there are those, if we care for those individuals, we're wondering about how they are. These are new babes in Christ. We want to make sure that they get the best of what we can give to them as far as helping them to get through this process of being a new babe in Christ. And part of the purpose of the letter was to give confidence in the reality of God's promise. And some people don't look at it that way, or some people will turn away from it. God calls us to be confident, and that's what we need to be, is confident. Full confidence comes from complete trust in the Lord. And we know that Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 is talking about trust in the Lord. It's not a quiet trust. We are willing to confess what our expectations are to those around us. In other words, we let everybody know just what to expect from us. We're not someone that will be in church today and then tomorrow. We act like we don't even know what church is all about. Well, we let people know where we stand. If we don't, then people will think that we're just part of the world and doing the things that the world people also do. Anything without confidence is sin. Romans chapter 14, verses 22 and 23. He that doubteth is damned. The verse is saying, has thou faith? Has it to thyself before God? Happy is he that commendeth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. In other words, we want to, this verse is talking about food, but basically you can use this for other applications in our life also too. If you do anything and you believe that it's not right, you are sinning because of your conscience. It means that you are going against a conviction. It leaves a person with guilt and an uneasy conscience. When God shows us that something is wrong for us, we should avoid it, and we should try to steer ourselves away from that. Because if you do something, if you go along with something that you know is wrong within yourself, then you are sinning. Sometimes confidence in our ability can lead us to fall. And there's an example. The Pharisee in Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. What he did was he trusted in himself and not in God. And I think it was brought out on last Sunday night about this man and what he thought about as far as how he felt. Thank God I'm not like all of those other people are. This man does this and this man do that. And I'm not like that. Well, we don't want to have that type of confidence in our ability, because we can fall from that. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he falls. Sometimes confidence in our ability can lead us to fall. An example, as I said before, the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, verses 19 through 14. He trusted in himself and not in God. Also, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, see you have known these things before, be aware, lest also, being led away with error, a wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then verse 18 says, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to increase in our knowledge. And how we do that, as we do with 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 15 and 7, he says, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also in Acts chapter 17 and the verses 11, where the Bible says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. So that's what we have to do, brothers and sisters, is search God's word daily so we can have a better understanding of what we are to do. Paul and Silas was at Berea at that time. And when we pass on in this life, sometimes we have a thought in our mind about, will God place me in a place of peace or of torment? Most would answer, I would hope it would be a place of peace. Yet the answer lacked confidence. They are not certain. But why not? Who else would know of your standing before God if you don't know yourself? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 15, it says, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting on in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We know that in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, dust return to the earth. In other words, we are from the dust. And when we pass on, we'll go back to that dust, but the spirit will go and return to God. And to finish up with 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 says, moreover, I would endeavor having you may be able, after my decease, have these things always in remembrance. Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 6, and then again in verse 14 where it says, but Christ, as a son over his house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope until the end? So we have to hold on until the end. But notice what we must hold solidly to. It's to our confidence. It's not to our uncertainty. We want to hold on to our confidence. And one of the things that I sometimes remember is, if there is someone who is learning to preach, or if there's someone who's learning to play football or basketball or whatever, and maybe you're not doing too good at that time, but you have to hold on to that confidence. You know, you don't want to turn it loose. And whenever you do, doubt will creep in. We want to continue on having that confidence. There are people that may say things or do things to you about you that you may take personally, but you can't do that. You want to keep on keeping on for the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, it says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold on the beginning of our confidence. In other words, be steadfast until the very end. We don't know when the end is going to come for any one of us. Confidence is important to our salvation. Jesus said to four of his disciples, follow me. In Matthew chapter 4 and verses 18 through 21. And when we follow Jesus, we follow his word, we follow his teaching, and we also follow his example. So that confidence is what keeps us going and keeps us doing what God or what Christ would have us to do. But what is the source of our confidence? The source of our confidence is full assurance of faith. According to Hebrews chapter 10 and the verses 19 through 24. And what that's talking about, it's talking about full assurance. Verse 21, it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance, rather, of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. In other words, what we're talking about here in this verse right here is a strong confidence is by faith of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, what they did was they sprinkled blood on men, but now today we're baptized, and that's what we have to do, is hold confidence in a baptism that we receive when we're baptized. We should hold on to that assurance when we're baptized, assurance of faith. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul knew exactly what his faith was to be. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but all who love his appearing. Also, Paul reminds Timothy of his responsibility. He tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, and I won't read the whole verses, but he tells, he says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In other words, not being timid. That's what he hadn't given us, no timid fear, but we have to do what God has told us to do. We have power, we have love, and we have a sound mind. In other words, using your mind or using good judgment. says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of my testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." And verse 10 is telling us, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death." He has abolished death because he was raised, God raised him from the dead, and has brought life and immortality, which is eternal life, to light through the gospel. That good news is what he's talking about. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles." Verse 12 says, "For the which call I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which is I have committed unto him against that day." Paul was committed, and also Paul was devoted to Christ, and he was not ashamed. And that's where our personality should be too. We should be committed to what Christ wants us to do and not be ashamed of him. A lot of times people will be ashamed of what God want them to do because they get to a point where this is not for them to do. They'd rather just quit or give up, or we can't do that. Apostle Paul was a very good person that we read about because he suffered a lot of things. Not to say that the things that he suffered was good, because it wasn't good, but he's an example to all of us. Also, outside of Jesus Christ, he was a very good example. Jesus went through things too on our behalf. But Paul was a battered man. In Acts chapter 12 through 23, you know, the Jews vowed to kill Paul. I think it was about 40 people that banded together, and they wouldn't eat or drink anything because they wanted to kill this man who was doing God's work. They wanted to kill him. He was a battered man. Also, Paul stood before King Agrippa in Acts 20, 26. And in Acts 27, verses 22 through 23, there was a great storm at the sea. He was shipwrecked. But Paul had assurance because at night the angel of the Lord stood beside him and said that he would complete that voyage that he went on. Paul was under God's protection. It reminds us of a story in Daniel chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Daniel and the lion's den. And this king also told Daniel, he said, "Thou God, whom thou servest continuously, he will deliver thee." God will deliver us too, if we put our faith and trust in him. Perhaps maybe some of you may be going through some things, or have gone through some things, and you call upon the Lord, and he brought you out of it. He can still do that. Sometimes we think that God will not bring us out of it, but he will bring us out of it. But we have to have the faith and trust in him also, too. Also, continuing on, talking about Paul right here, Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. People have worked hard, or people did work hard, against Paul's effort. Some of the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they warned the crowd. They stoned Paul, and they dragged him outside the city, thinking that he was dead. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 23, Paul also talked about his suffering as an apostle. And in verse 24 of that chapter right there, he was also beaten. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Let none of you, rather, suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, busybody in other men's affairs. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Christians will suffer, but because of our faith and trust in the Lord, we will get through it. At this portion of my presentation, I do have on the screen here something that I wanted to show, but I'm not going to be able to do this. But anyway, I'm a very big fan of jewel metal film strips. And I have something that I ran out. Perhaps maybe you can see it, maybe you can't. The book is downstairs down there, and I do have some at home. But anyway, I just thought I'd put that in there too. And we're talking about God's law of assurance in the plant kingdom, God's law of assurance in the fleshly kingdom, God's law of assurance in the spiritual kingdom. God cannot lie. God's plan doesn't fail. But in the plant kingdom, everything produces after its own kind in the plant kingdom. And this is a very good illustration right here once we get into that jewel metal film strip and looking at those things right there. Every seed after its own kind. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. And we can go back to the Old Testament and affirm this. God's law of reproduction by law in the fleshly kingdom. Every seed after its own kind. And then God's law of reproduction in the spiritual kingdom. Whenever we do what the Bible says, do what Christians, when people believe, repent, confess, and is baptized for the remission of sin, what it's going to do is going to produce Christians. It shouldn't produce denominations. But what we do is a lot of times we fall away and we start doing what denominations do. And that's why we have so many different people saying so many different things. But if we stay with God's word and stay with the things that we're supposed to do, it's going to produce a Christian after the original Christians in the book of Acts. And also, I have another couple of slides here too, and it's called A Pattern of Salvation Assurance. And this is also what this is like. It was on the screen, but I don't have it up. So I'm just going to show it to you. If you want to see it, you can see me afterwards. But anyway, the subject matter pertaining to Noah, Abraham, and the Israelites, now God's plan for Noah was to build an ark. And I do have the verses here where what his plan was. Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 21. And the obedience of faith that Noah did, he was saved. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. I'm not going to go through all of these here that I have here, but Abraham was a subject of God's grace. And God's plan was his son, he would be tested with his son in Genesis chapter 22, verses 2. The obedience of faith, he was justified as that reward. The Israelites, the Passover, when blood was on the doorpost, and Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 20, obedience of faith, they were saved. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 29 and 42. And then also, Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world." So when we live the way that the Lord wants us to do, live, then it's going to produce the things that we need to be saved. God's promises are sure. When we read passages from Hebrews, there are some passages that might cause an individual to give up. And one of them is in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we must give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we let them slip." Also, at Hebrews chapter 5, "We can become dull of hearing That's Hebrews 5:11. Also in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12, we can depart from God's way, an evil heart of unbelief. And also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Now, also by the same token, there are some things that Christians, that God has promised for Christians in the New Testament. Number one, James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endured temptation when he has been approved. He will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And in James chapter 2, verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith and the heirs and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. And this is a promise that he promised us. He promises eternal life. So we just looked at some things that will cause us to fall away. And then we looked at some things also what Christians can look forward to. In my conclusion, I just wanted to read something. Reading through the Bible, we find many promises of an eternal home in heaven with God. But how can you and I be sure that such a home really is there? None of us get to visit it beforehand. It is not like a hotel is there and that you can check in on the internet like a lot of people do. Or ask someone if the beds are soft or high is the view, like we normally do a lot of times. None of you personally know people who has been there and who can tell you what heaven is like. So how can we know it's really there waiting for us? Well, the answer to that is that we can know ourselves if we follow the pattern that Christ has set before us, talking about his word, and we do it without addition or subtraction. Our faith and our trust is what gets us through. At the beginning of this presentation, my subject was pattern of salvation and assurance. Well, the members of the early church is our pattern of salvation. The assurance of salvation was through obedient faith. And that's what we have to do, because as we live on, we don't know how long God is going to let this go on, but we too are going to be someone who showed a pattern of salvation. And we tell people what we did in order to be saved. That should be something that we should continue on doing, because we are part of the church now. It's on us to tell someone else what they must do in order to be saved, just like someone told us. An assurance of salvation is obedient faith. There are those who may be wondering what they must do in order to be saved. Well, I do have something for that also, too. I don't have my projector where I'd like to. But nevertheless, a pattern for salvation, an assurance, is that we hear the gospel. Acts 15, verse 7, also Romans 10, verse 17. And we must believe that gospel that we've heard, according to John chapter 8, and verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Repentance is part of that pattern of salvation. What we're doing is we're turning from the way that we were going, and we're going in the direction that God would have us to go. And then we must confess the sweetest name on mother tongue is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then after that, Revelation 2:10 teaches us that we are to live faithfully unto death. And he says, I will give you a crown of life. If there is someone who needs to obey that pattern, you have an opportunity to do so tonight. And if there is something on your heart that troubles you, then you have a chance and opportunity to make things right. If there is someone that needs prayer, you can come down and get the brother here to pray for you. And I pray that all of us will continue to know that we are a bright light shining in a dark world. It may not seem like it. Continue to have confidence. Continue to have faith in what God has showed you what to do. So at this time, we can respond by standing and singing the invitational song at this time.